that's it about my vacation that I want? I want a vacation.
Yeah. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, we're excited to get our guy, Mr. Lou Holder, joining the
program. Hold him, Lou.
From the Holder Hangout. People might not realize how long we've all worked together. Hell, you and B. Mitch have probably known each other.
We worked in Philly together.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. I met Lou in Philly.
That's where I started my career in Philadelphia.
I'm surprised you didn't work with him here at Channel 5.
No, that was...
It was Philly then when he came back here.
When I came back, yeah. My first year here was Steve Spurrier's first year.
Ooh.
Patrick Ramsey had the nerve to hold out. You had Osaka, and that was Daryl Green's last year. That was my first year, 2002. That was the year of the sniper attacks.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was in college,
yeah.
Man.
But
I
started my broadcasting career. I went to grad school and at Temple in Philly, and that's when I met B. Mitch when I was at Temple. Kevin Negandhi and I started our careers together in Philly, and that's where I knew B. Mitch first time. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
I'm a fanboy with B. Mitch because I love the way he played, but now as a colleague, man, it's even better. He's still whooping my behind in golf, but that's another
issue.
Well,
you know, something's supposed to happen, and he's going to stay that way. Hey, did you, Jeff, hear what he said? I'm still whipping him.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to be with you when you're 70.
Everybody actually understands the difference between you and Jeff in golf. Lou and I worked together when I was early on in my career working those graveyard shifts at Comcast. Man. We had fun, man. Me, you, and Armand, like,
oh,
just listening to old beats. Lou start dancing and stuff.
Yep.
Obviously, you've been here every day. You've been talking to players every day. What has kind of stood out to you most?
So I think I'm going to go macro for you first, JP, and just talk about the culture of what's going on overall. It's just been night and day. A couple of years ago, no one would be out here with confidence. We would be wondering who the quarterback is. We would be wondering if what the coach is saying, is it really true? We'd be wondering if people are infighting. It would be so many things that the media would be looking for and trying to get understanding for. Now there's not that. I keep saying it is so good, and I got to get used to JP and B. Mitch. I got to get used to covering football and not foolishness. It is so good.
That's a good way of putting it, dog.
It's so good to come in there, and if Terry McLaurin and that thing is the only thing that we're actually covering that's, you know, semi not football related because it's a contract and stuff like that, sign me up for that every single day, because there were times when the FBI would be raiding the building and the owner, you didn't know what he was doing. None of that. It's just straight football, and it's just so – I still got to get used to it. So it's fun out here because this is what we want to do, cover football. And that's the big picture for me, JP, is that how this is coming together from the top down. That is really, really refreshing. As far as individuals, I'm really excited about Jordan McGee. I thought we got really – it was really unfortunate that he got hurt.
Isn't he a Temple guy?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I see you went right back to that.
I was going
to
say it, too.
He's not going to get past me, Lou. Yeah.
Can I guess?
Let me talk to you about my college, right. My counterpart.
So McGee, Mikey Sanders still, I just think he's growing.
He's a special kid,
He's growing in confidence. And just the relationship he has with Jaden, he's just – the game is slowing down for him. Those are two people that I'm really, really excited for. And then Brandon Coleman, these are all second-year guys. That Brandon Coleman, I just feel that he learned so much last year. And now with the Laramie Tunsil, and now he's like – he's second year, but he's teaching Josh Connerly, but still getting tutelage from Laramie Tunsil. So I just feel that those three individuals right off the bat – are people that I'm just really excited to see take it to the next level.
Well, I think when I was looking today, and me and Jeff were talking about how big offensive linemen are, and then you look at the defensive linemen. But the thing that comes with it, I think those guys also are skilled. They have the ability. They're not just big guys. You know, and I think that's going to help the team, because as much as when we come out here, everybody look at the skill positions. I still go with the transmission and the engine. That's O-line, D-line. I believe those guys are going to be what takes this team beyond.
Yeah, I mean, B. Mitch, the game of football has not changed. If you can get to the other team's quarterback and run the ball and the lines, they're always, it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. Since you, when you played, I mean, I remember 1991 and Mark Rippon only being touched like 10 times the whole year.
Yeah.
I remember
that's still
that.
A six that, isn't it? Unbelievable.
I mean, that doesn't go unnoticed for people in this area. So one thing you cannot get over on with this fan base is we know a good offensive line when we see it. We know a good GM when we see it. We know a good head coach when we see it. And it's very rare, as you know, in the league to have a new owner pick his own GM and the GM picks his own head coach and that head coach picks his own offensive coordinator and that offensive coordinator and you come up with a number two pick in the draft. All that's like a unicorn. They're all coming in together. And, man, it's fun to watch because back in the day, between Beathard and Gibbs and Jack Kent Cook, two of those individuals have gold jackets. So it worked out pretty well back then.
Hell yeah.
And when you see your past starting to come again in your future, that's why people are excited because we've seen it before.
We're talking with our friend Lou Holder here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV. You can follow Lou at Holder Sports. Check out the Holder Hangout wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. You've been interviewing a lot of these guys every day. Who's kind of stood out to you just as on the personal level?
Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, he's deep.
He's a deep thinker. I love how he reps his Samoan culture. I just love, you know, me and you, we've all talked. It's not just the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes, right? And I try to get to know some of these players. Frankie Louvu is one of those guys that's a go-to for me in the locker room because he'll give you stuff. He'll think. He's very methodical. And then, obviously, his counterpart. Having Bobby Wagner here, I can't stress enough how important that was as far as leadership. Him and Zach Ertz coming here. But as far as free agent signings, that's got to be up there as one of the more special ones in franchise history because of not only his play, which we are still benefiting from, but, man, when he comes into the room, instant respect.
Totally,
instant respect.
Totally.
Everybody's like, okay, you're going to Canton and you're choosing to come here to end your career and you're getting an MBA from Howard. I mean, come on. the man is just one of those people that you just talked to. And those two individuals are the two people that I go to on an everyday basis because they're thinkers. I like watching, listen to their answers to questions.
It's cool to hear you point that out because I think so many people just forget about leadership. All they think about is how fast can somebody run, how tall, how can they jump, how many balls are they going to catch. Leadership gets you to be able to do that without worrying about stuff on Sundays. And you think back to covering a lot of these teams early on in Washington. You hear about those teams. You hear about the Eagles team. Leadership takes them where they're going, you know, even more than the athleticism. I mean, you got to have that, but if you don't have a leader to get the person on the right track, you're going to have problems.
Right, and I remember Coach talking about building a culture and sustaining a culture. Building a culture is one thing with the pictures on the wall and the anybody, any place, any time type of thing, but it's those captains, those people like Bobby Wagner.
Doing tough stuff with
good
people.
With great people.
Yeah, I like that one.
Remember last year when we got wind of all the players carrying those logs together, right?
Yeah, and I saw it in the bubble,
That was wild. Like, they are depending on one another, and that all comes from
– That was deep.
I like that. Yeah. That I'm not going to let you down. You're not going to let me down. We're going to carry this big log together, and that's what the season was last year.
And we can't carry it if we all don't work.
That part.
You think the three of us could carry one of those logs, me, you, and B, Lou?
Yeah.
I think so.
You think Jeff would help or hurt the effort?
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. Those logs were big.
You've been around this game a long time. I think it says a lot about the team. I think it also says a lot about Jaden. How impressed and perhaps surprised were you that they were able to keep this entire coaching staff together?
Unfinished business. I just feel that you see number five does add some spice to it. But all the stuff that we heard about Dan Quinn has been true. People want to play for him. He said when he came in, JP, that this wasn't a rebuild, it was a recalibration. And all that is true. And he has changed that culture around. I know there were people that wanted and Johnson a couple of years ago. But I don't think that we would have had that coaching staff of Lynn and all those if it was somebody else. He has brought in some respectful people, and I just feel that that's where it starts with DQ. DQ has set the tone, and I think everybody's falling in place. People want to come here to play for Dan Quinn.
He set the tone, he is not an egomaniac. You know, if you look at the way Dan handles stuff, he's checked his ego at the door, which makes everybody else do the exact same thing. He has all these former players. He has former head coaches on his staff. Other coaches are intimidated by that. They don't want the guy that they know can possibly take the job if stuff goes wrong. There's 3-4 of them on this team that could probably be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we saw that with the last two coaches, with Ron and Jay. I mean, Jay could run the hell out of an offense, but never would hire that big-name D coordinator that could really own a room, right? I mean, he had Barry and then Minuski, and then Ron went with Scott Turner, and then even bringing in Eric Bieniemy, it was like you never had that super established OC. I mean, think about when Ron got here, Kevin O'Connell was here, and however that meeting went down, KOC ended up going to L.A. for a year and then getting the head job in Minnesota, and Scott got the job. Like, we always talk about this, B, that it's a self-preservation league.
Hell yeah.
And a big part of self-preservation is you don't want somebody around that if it goes sideways, they can promote. And Dan approaches everything with an attacking mindset. I want to win, and I'm not in need of putting myself first or my self-preservation, which is really pretty rare.
Right. I think he learned a lot from the stop in Atlanta and the stop in Seattle. I think he's learned now. He even said at his press conference, I remember it specifically, I want to do a lot more coaching this time around than being just a head coach. I want to do a lot of coaching. And you see him out there on the D-line or whatever. He's letting people do what they're supposed to do. And that's a maturity level that you have to get to. And just because you've been a head coach before doesn't mean you have that maturity level. We're seeing it with Dan Quinn. We're seeing it with Dan Quinn. And, you know, I love the culture that he's building, that he's built. And I asked him a question because there is a movie coming out today.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
Today. It's by a local filmmaker, Jimmy Jenkins. He did this documentary a few years back called Basketball Country in the Water. About all...
Is that the one Kevin Durant produced?
Yes. Yeah. How many professionals in the NBA that have come from Prince George's County? Phenomenal documentary about all the people that have come out of this area. And so he told me he was doing this other documentary about Alabama, just Alabama football, from Bear Bryant to Nick Saban and everything in between. So I made it a point to ask first Dan about coaches, about who he looks at, about that type of style. And he said that he learned from Nick Saban when he was in Miami, and Mariucci and other things, and then people like that. I just find it at my point in my career, B, and I'm looking at inside stuff. How do you get people to do things that they're not easily willing to do? You've had it with Joe Jackson Gibbs and Andy Reid, you know, the leader of men.
It all comes with respect.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
And so that's what I look at as, how do you get people to do stuff in between the ears?
If the coach shows the player that he's genuinely concerned about his well-being and him moving forward, the player would do any damn thing that coach wants.
Yeah.
But if the player doesn't trust that the coach cares about him, I don't care who the coach is. The player's not going to follow.
Well, dude, there was a scene last year that Kerwin shot really well. I want to say it's like week 9, week 10, and B-Rob was dealing with that leg injury. And we watched him go through this like a pretty hardcore workout pregame. Now, when they're doing those workouts, it's probably 3 hours before a game. Yeah. So say it's a 1 o'clock kick. This is probably 10:30 in the morning. And B-Rob's pushing it, man, giving it everything he's got. And then we just watched DQ come over at the end of the workout and see him shake his head, and like, I'm not close enough to hear it, but I know what's happening. It's Quinn telling Robinson, you're not playing today, dude. And
I got your back.
And he's frustrated in the moment because these guys want to go. And I asked B-Rob about that earlier this week, whenever I spoke with him, whenever I got to sit down with him. And he's like, man, hell yeah, I was pissed. I want to play. But knowing a coach has your long-term future in mind and not just week to week. Because these guys, not every coach thinks like that. A lot of coaches think week to week because I got to win this week to keep my job.
Yeah. They'll push you.
And B-Rob was one of the people that I talked to about.
Sure.
B-Rob and Daron Payne, they both won multiple national championships under Nick Saban, and they were talking about how DQ reminds them a lot about the love and respect and the push and the hard, you know, thinking of the individual that Saban did at college. They're now getting it with DQ here in the professional.
Even
they said it about him, but they didn't say it about people before. They
even
said
those
it about
coaches,
DQ.
Even those coaches learned some stuff.
Right.
Because Bear Bryant, who all this started off with, Bear Bryant learned. Yeah. Better get you some of them when he played against USC. You know that story.
Yeah, man.
Bear went up
there. It changed everything.
USC rolled in with them brothers. And he took an L. He said, I better get me some of them.
Yeah.
And Alabama now got a lot of them. Believe me.
In the Louisiana area, B, like how prominent was that Alabama program from the surrounding states?
It was that program you wanted to dismantle because everybody cheered for LSU down there. So, and then you had those coaches, Bill Ansbarger at LSU, those same type of guys who were getting those. And Bill Ansbarger was bringing in the Dalton Hilliards and the Gary James of the world, you know, Tommy Hodges. They were winning, and I think it was like everybody looked at Alabama like the evil empire. You know, when you win a lot, you become evil.
Yeah.
It's like everybody look at Kansas City as the evil empire. Andy, the nicest dude you're going to meet. Pat, the nicest dude you're going to meet. But they will cut your throat on a football field. That's what Alabama was in Louisiana. And LSU had to try to come up to try to match that.
Yeah. Wow. It's just a fascinating. I love documentaries. The 30 for 30s.
Yeah, me and JP about to do one on.
Yeah.
Be Mentioneers.
Lou, last one for me.
Yeah.
You've been here. You've seen Terry running around. His agent's walking around. Peters is walking around. Where do you think that thing is, and how does it eventually get solved?
So the man is under contract. And it's not like he's a free agent, and he has other teams to go against one another to drive up the price. The man is under contract. So it's going to end one of two ways. I mean, he's going to have to play this physically unable to perform in the ankle. At some point, he's going to have to play football. And I just feel that, for me, we have wanted Adam Peters a lot longer than we have wanted Terry McLaurin. We have wanted stability in the front office for the longest, longest time. And I don't know. I think Bobby Wagner had the bite of the entire camp so far. He said to us in the media, I'll never forget it. He said, sometimes the business of football is minding your own darn business.
That's it. That's
and
line.
So I am staying and watching two sides do whatever they need to do. Now, Doc said this kind of tongue-in-cheek. He goes, you never telegraph your punches. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have made the moves that Terry made. And I don't know if I would have made some of the moves that Adam made. But I'm minding my own business. I report what I see. But it's going to work out because the man is under contract.
Yeah, I believe that.
You mean as far as, like, he's not going to miss games?
No, because don't you need a certain amount of games to accrue to whatever?
I mean, I also don't think Terry's a dude to take a holdout, a hold-in into the season.
I don't think so. You would want it to be a little bit cleaner than what it is now, but this is the business of football.
What's that word? Money talk and what walks? Mm. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Luke. Thank you for your time, man.
Appreciate you, Lou.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys.
That's the one and only sweet Lou Holder. Give him a follow at Holder Sports. When we return, there's football on television tonight. And
really?
Some dope news for our guy Jeff Walker. Nobody go anywhere.